half a century ago, a famous rock star titled his debut album with a question: are you experienced? He was hardly the first musician to explore the theme. In fact, well over two centuries ago, Mozart and the librettist Lorenzo da Ponte worked together to create a character who is synonymous with experience of the most infamous kind. When Indianapolis Opera presents that villain, it will rely on a singer with ample experience, just not necessarily as the wicked title character. Eric McKeever made his role debut in Don Giovanni just last fall. He joins me now on Key Principles to discuss his career as a singer. Eric, it is so good to be able to talk to you.
You as well.
Now, I would assume that you've been watching other men sing this role for years.
I've watched so many different interpretations and listened to so many different singers. And the most fascinating thing about Giovanni is he can be a baritone, he could be a bass baritone, he could be a bass. And so it really boils down to the singing actor and what they want to say about it. And so something that we've discovered in rehearsal is that for my particular instrument, my particular body type, the way I move, Giovanni is very manic at times. And so it's very exciting to have him get to this point where he's so energetic, but then he also is the nobleman. And so he finds that way to and calm down. And so it's a really interesting contrast of exciting energy and then also very stable. And you never know when he's going to explode. And so that, to me, makes him very dangerous and exciting.
Mozart described this in his own catalog as an opera buffa, mm-hmm. implying, you know, that he saw this as a comedy. Do you see it as a comedy?
Well, you know, it's what's fascinating about this work is that there is a great deal of comedy, especially between Leporello and Giovanni, but there's also a very dark, serious energy, and you hear it in the overture. The minute the overture starts, you know that while there may be comedic elements, you're going to experience a really dark character and the arc of this dark character. So what makes it brilliant is that an audience member can come and enjoy it simply for the lightness that it brings, because there are quite a few light moments. There are quite a few gorgeous musical moments where time stops, but there's also this really dramatic arc of this character. And one of the things I want is for the audience member to either leave loving Giovanni or hating Giovanni. Like, I don't want them to leave with like, he was okay. You know, I want them to really have a very visceral reaction to him.
Mozart went on the road to introduce this opera. You know, he went to Prague and had it premiered there.
Right.
You are on the road a lot.
Yes.
I mean, Indianapolis, Columbus, yes. Lots of places in Indiana and Ohio.
Yes.
Where are you from? Initially?
Originally, I'm from Columbus, Ohio. Went to school at Capital University and Ohio State University, and then have worked pretty much in a lot of the states doing regional opera companies. So it's a crazy, crazy life. But it's really great when you get to go to a new city, meet a new group of artists, and within 3 weeks, you've bonded and put together this amazing production. And that's what we have to do. We have to come in and be so open, because we have to create these really intimate relationships that on paper have been in formation for quite a few years. And you have to really just be open to everyone's energy and open yourself so that they feel comfortable. It's almost like being a psychologist, because you have to kind of gauge how people are and then how to best respond to them. But then you also have to bring what you bring to the table. So in addition to the idea of traveling and meeting new people, it's a great way to learn people skills. It's a great way to learn how to navigate society, because everyone is so interesting and different.
And I would assume that each production is so different that
correct.
You must have some directors who are very traditional
yes.
in their interpretations and
yes.
costumes and sets and whatnot, and then others who aren't.
Yes, and sometimes you're in a production where a perfect example, the Pagliacci I recently did, the director had a very physical idea of Tonio. So I was leaping and tumbling and carrying the drum and playing the drum and running and doing all of this stuff that I did not anticipate that I would be doing. So I was like, oh, okay, now I have to sort of shift how I approach this role vocally so that I don't put all that into the sound, but I had to really figure out how to do the physical as well as the vocal. But that's part of, you know, you learn on the job. You learn on the job. You don't always learn how everything is going to work in school, but you learn with each production who you are as an artist and what you have to kind of do to make the role come to life.
Had you worked with people from Indianapolis Opera before coming to perform in this production?
So many years ago, I was an apprentice at Indianapolis Opera and trained here when the former general director was here, and learned quite a bit by watching principal artists. I had a couple of small roles I was in Don Pasquale and Samson et Dalila and had supporting roles and then covered the larger role. So it was really exciting when, and I don't even know if David knew that, but it was really exciting. I came and auditioned for him and got the opportunity to come back. So it's like, oh, yay, look, the training opportunity was there, and now I get to come back as a principal artist.
Well, surely David Starkey, we're talking about here, had seen the rest of your resume and
yes.
saw your work, for example, with Lyric Opera of Chicago,
yes.
covering a role in Amistad.
Yes, which was to be in a world premiere, to cover a role. And the other thing that was really exciting about that, it was that a large portion of the cast was African-American. And as a singer from the Midwest, I hadn't seen that in a production outside of Porgy and Bess. So it was really exciting to even be in that space and just watch these great artists of color create this brand new work. And that really changed my belief in the possibility of a career.
Well, and to touch briefly on what I assume the storyline of Amistad is, similar mm-hmm. to the movie of a few years back.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it was sort of amazing how the film had come out, and this opera was being created by Anthony Davis, the composer. He also wrote the opera Malcolm X. I don't know that they even were in each other's realm of ideology. Like they did, I don't even know if they knew that the other was creating the other, but it was really fascinating that around the same time, both of these pieces were coming into formation. So, and it was a really interesting story that I didn't know a lot about, and it was great to see it realized on a stage. And I know that they did one other production at the Spoleto Festival maybe about 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. So hopefully it'll come back again. It's a cool piece.
Not all of your singing has been in opera. You
right.
have actually sung excerpts from I Will Tell You the Truth About This, which is an oratorio by Aaron Siegel. And the text, I mean, technically came from the poet Tracy K. Smith, mm-hmm. but there's more of a story behind that text, too. I would love it if you could explain the details behind I Will Tell You the Truth About This.
Okay. So Tracy, doing research, the brilliant woman that she is, was looking for letters and correspondence between Civil War soldiers of color and their families and between each other. And so she collected this amazing amount of correspondence and then approached Aaron Siegel, who was a wonderful modern composer, about creating this oratorio. And what was most fascinating about it being a cappella is that it really highlights the text. It really highlights the idea that, as you know, during slavery, slaves would sing songs a cappella in the fields, and it was a form of communication. So this concept of creating an a cappella oratorio with a chorus and a soprano and a baritone singing these beautiful words of missing one's love, of seeing death of their children and not being able to provide because there just wasn't enough. It was so haunting and realistic and a wonderful through line from the idea of being a captured slave to being a Civil War fighter of color and yet still not having complete freedom. And we did several excerpts from it at the Schomburg Center in Harlem for a packed audience. And it was a moving experience. It's a very moving experience. And I hope to get to do more of it.
Well, it brings up a question I wanted to ask, because you, as an experienced opera singer who also happens to be African-American, I would assume mm-hmm. you are going to have opportunities like this in the future, whether it's singing in Amistad or singing in I Will Tell You the Truth About This, or going down the route that you are going in Indianapolis, and right. that is performing in a role that a lot of people, frankly, have associated with Caucasian men.
Right.
And you are in this role. Which would you prefer for your future? Would you prefer these traditional roles?
My short answer is both.
Okay.
Because in truth, one of the reasons that I was always drawn to opera was that when I first listened and saw video, it was a multicultural cast. You could have an Asian soprano as Don Elvira. You could have an African-American soprano as Donna Anna. You could have an Italian bass as Leporello. You could have a French mezzo as Derline. I was drawn to the fact that unlike musical theater, which is an amazing art form, but is very set up on type, opera, is, at least when I first fell in love with it, was really about the voice and the character. And we've definitely, you know, opera has definitely moved into a very visual art form. And so looking like someone's perception of the character is important. But I think it's my job as a 5'8" African-American baritone to say, here's another way that this could go. And some people will say, oh, yeah, I can see that. And others will go, no, this is my concept. And I just go, okay, great, that's your concept. It's very much like dating. When you audition for a company, it's like you know probably within like 5 minutes whether they like you or not and whether they can see you in things outside of the quote-unquote traditional roles. Mm. But I know that for myself and a lot of other African-American singers, particularly men, we are saying, hey, think of us as this, think of us as that. And I will say I have been incredibly lucky to not be pigeonholed. I did one tour of Porgy and Bess and did a couple of productions of Porgy and Bess, but I've been able to sing other really exciting music as well. And it's great to be able to do both.
Now, do you see, just as one example, you know, you were talking about African-Americans and presenting these roles, perhaps in ways that people had not thought of them before. Do you see the reverse being true too? For example, Caucasians in Porgy and Bess, or is there any reason for that,
well,
you think?
And that's a fascinating debate, because pieces like Porgy and Bess, and also there are a lot of other American operas like The Revolution of Steve Jobs, or things that are based on very contemporary ideas or set in very specific places where the race of the individual is in context of the story, I think it is important to honor that. So I probably will never get to sing in the opera Cold Mountain, or I probably will never get to sing in, there's a new opera being premiered at Santa Fe, In Butterfly, based on the film. I probably won't get that opportunity to be in that because it's very specifically based on the race of this character and that character, and that's okay. But what is exciting is that there are composers, contemporary composers, who are creating roles specifically for men of color. I had the pleasure of singing excerpts from Paul Moravec's opera The Shining, which is based on the Stephen King novel, and the character Dick Halloran is an African-American man. So it's exciting as long as there are opportunities. And I think as long as opera companies are able to say, you know what, this person could sing this role, which is specifically set to be a person of color, or this role is specifically set to be sung by a white person because it's contemporary. But when they're looking at a production of Butterfly, could the butterfly be a Latina woman? Mm-hmm. Is that possible? Why not? Or could the Sharpless be African-American? Or could the, you know.
And I should be noted here, you have been Sharpless.
I have, yes, yes, yes. So. And again, it's more about creating a cast that the company feels tells the story. And so every company has very specific ideas of what they want to present on stage and who they believe their audience wants to see. And that's a very difficult balance to maintain. And every city is very different. But I just like being part of the conversation. If I can go in and sing for someone and be part of the conversation, I'm excited.
You have said that earlier in your career, you kept trying to sound like other singers, but have more recently abandoned that strategy. I'd like to know first, what singers did you have in mind?
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. I still love Ettore Bastianini, one of the best baritones out there. Such a ferocious, beautiful sound. Tito Ruffo, an older, much older baritone. They called him the voice of a lion. I loved the ferocity of his sound. Mm. More contemporary, Robert Merrill, Juan Pons, Justino Diaz. I mean, I could go on and on. There's so many amazing baritones out there singing. And even today, two of my idols, Mark Rucker, an African-American baritone, and a very exciting young baritone, Lucas Meacham. There are so many great artists. Mm. But what I had to realize was that it's better to sound like Eric McKeever than to try and imitate someone else, because then I'm not being authentic. And they can... You know, singing is very scientific, but it's also it's difficult to describe, but people can pick up on when you're not being your authentic self. And so I've had much more success singing as my own sound and figuring out what this thing does there versus, well, if I do that, I'm going to sound like Cheryl Milnes at that. No, it doesn't work.
It sounds more technical.
Absolutely. I would say it's the idea of shooting arrows blindfolded, because you don't have a visual. All you have is sensation, and you work in the studio with your voice teacher and coaches to figure out if this vowel is the right vowel, if the amount of breath support you're using is engaged enough, if you are formulating the sound in such a way so that it has the most clarity and beauty. And it's very small, miniature work, but it's also very exciting when you have an aha moment. And then the goal is to make it sound easy. And any opera singer will tell you this. It's the idea of the swan swimming across the water where it looks like this, but underneath their legs are doing that, you know. Mm. You couldn't see that, but I was basically spinning.
Spinning, yes, yes. The arms flailing.
Yes, exactly.
Well, Eric McKeever, I want to thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Baritone Eric McKeever sings the title role of Don Giovanni with Indianapolis Opera.